Welcome to the replay with Elle and Al. We have a special guest this week, July 4th. It's Carl Bialik from 538. Hi, Carl.
Hi.
Hey, Carl.
Nice to be here.
Can you describe to us the feeling of being in the closet? How is it more or less spacious than you imagined?
I mean, I think some people dream about closets like this in New York.
That's
like,
true.
That's so true.
It wouldn't have been in the Sex and the City movie necessarily.
Right.
But maybe like a girls movie or...
That's true.
A girls movie.
I wonder, will there
be a girls movie? I don't know.
I hope not, God.
Yeah.
I actually...
Unless we're in it, in which case, I hope so.
Do you think, would you want to be in it? There's a lot more nudity than I'm willing to do in girls.
Well, if you did a show like that in New York, what would you call it? You wouldn't call it girls. You'd call it something else.
I'd call it The Replay with Ellen.
I think I'm doing it, but...
I also just want everyone to know that the three of us are sitting against the same wall, all staring directly at Ellie's clothes.
Right.
It's like being at a bar, show, except instead of bartender, it's wardrobe.
It's totally like being at a bar.
By the end of the show, I'll make everybody name my favorite article of clothing.
Or we'll pick our favorite article of clothing.
What they've decided. It's a pretty eclectic mix, so...
A lot of textures.
This is basically
Is there some cashmere up there?
Oh, yeah.
That would be mine. Sorry, we were supposed to wait till the end.
Right. The cashmere is an early front runner. It is the week of July 4th, and what did you do for the 4th of July,
Happy
Ellie?
Independence Day. Yeah. I was in Georgia. I was in Sea Island, Georgia. And I had a pretty awesome celeb encounter on Monday on the 4th. So we went to Sea Island, is like this very tiny island on the coast of Georgia. And a lot of people don't even know Georgia has a coast. Very exciting stuff. But yes, it does touch
you
the ocean.
Was that your sighting, the coast?
Yeah. I was like, oh my God, the Atlantic Ocean. It's a love sighting. But anyway, they have a tiny little 4th of July parade. You know, all these kids dress up and, like, decorate their bikes. Yeah. And, like, all the rich people take their convertibles and, like, drive them around the block. So we're at the end of the parade route. And I see this guy wearing a Dallas Mavericks cutoff. And I'm like, that's Mark Cuban. And my friend is like, what? And I said, that's Mark Cuban. So we start yelling, Mark, Mark, we're Mavs fans, Mark.
Are you a Mavs fan?
Yeah, I love Dirk Nowitzki.
Oh, right. Sorry, I forgot. That was stupid.
So, it's okay. So we're like, Mark, Mark, come over here. We play basketball, Mark. Yeah. And he comes over, and he's videoing us on his phone. We're videoing him on our phones.
Oh, my God.
And 2016.
And he has a super soaker, because it was so hot. Like, part of the parade is people just, like, go around and, like, super soak the crowd. So we're like, super soak us, super soak us.
Oh, my God. So he did a
So literally, so literally, I'm standing face-to-face with Mark Cuban, and he's, like, he's standing there for 30 seconds trying to get his super soaker to, like, spray us.
And did it work?
Finally,
it was like a metaphor.
Finally, yeah, I know, it was wrong. But finally, it worked, and then he just, like, walked away, and we were like, we just got super soaked by Mark Cuban, and it was the best thing ever.
I'm super jealous of that story.
And then I found $5.
Yeah. No, wait, I also think it's awesome. The only thing I'm disappointed in is that you didn't try to pitch the replay to him, like, Shark Tank style.
He used to be an online audio guy. That's where he got his start.
Wow. But weirdly enough, he didn't really, like, speak with us. Like, he engaged with us in terms
of,
like...
Just through his gun.
And just through, like, I think he was Snapchatting us. Like, it was really funny.
Did you follow him on Snapchat?
Yeah.
I tried to follow him, and he's blocked. Like, I can't get to him.
Oh, then maybe he was Periscoping you.
Maybe.
Or Facebook Living.
What do we... Or maybe he just was first personal archive.
You might now be a celebrity among
yeah,
these
scholars. I know. Mark.
Well, did he seem like a nice guy or kind of how
yeah,
he seems in
real life? Mean, he was, like, pretty full of himself. I mean, he doesn't live in Sea Island. As far as I know, he has no affiliation there. But, like, he's just walking in the parade because he's Mark Cuban.
What a time to be alive. Wow.
Yeah. What a life he leads.
What a life.
Carl, what did you do?
I super soaked Mark Cuban a few minutes later. Crazy coincidence that we're here together now.
He flew up to Boston, and I found him.
Yeah, funny enough, he was in Cambridge where I was for a wedding of a college friend, and a lot of college friends there, so got to catch up and gave a speech.
Oh, wow.
You gave a speech?
Co-gave, yeah.
Was it on the fly, or...?
It was 2 days before the wedding, the groom emailed the best man and me, the best man sidekick, to say no stories, no drunken stories from college.
Oh, yeah.
So we had to revise a bit.
What other stories are
there? Seriously.
Yeah.
So there was one story that he always told in college about something the dean of our residential college told him.
Right.
And it's a good story. I've heard it enough times that it's not as good anymore. But the twist was... We emailed the dean, who's in Greece now. He's a Greek guy who was temporarily in the U.S. And he sent a really nice note that we incorporated into the speech.
That's awesome.
It was a pretty high ratio of sentimental to funny, but, you know, we're older now.
Maybe I feel that's like that's what you should aim for. Sentimental at a wedding is, like, always the right move.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still feel like you could skew a little too sentimental. But maybe we did okay.
Yeah,
it was fun. And then... My girlfriend and I got an earlier train back than we expected because we realized, oh, we now live on the water in Queens and there are fireworks and that's a really good place to live.
Yeah.
And we got home just as it started pouring. So we saw all these people from our windows like running away from where they'd been standing probably for hours to save their spots. And then like little sneaks, we ran out there as soon as the rain stopped and got a great view of the fireworks.
Oh my God. Wait, so you saw the entire... East River fireworks.
We're kind of in a corner where we could see a lot of it.
Yeah,
not
that's
all
awesome.
Of it, but there's so many barges
right.
doing
yeah.
the same thing at the same time. We saw like three of them. So
that's awesome.
Went to my grandma's 95th birthday this weekend in Kansas and got back like before fireworks, but I didn't have anywhere to go watch them, and it's such a mess to like go down to the FDR
it's
and
awkward.
Try to watch on the East River. And for
next
the July,
time she'll be with you.
I know.
Fourth
yeah.
of July is my favorite holiday. I love fireworks, so I just was like, whatever, I'm not gonna watch. And I was here with my roommate and her boyfriend. And all of a sudden, her boyfriend and I start hearing what sound... I have witnessed a lot of fireworks in my lifetime. These sounded full-on like bombs. Like, from this, from 16th and 3rd, I just gave everybody the cross streets of the closet.
No, but you don't know what borough
right,
we're in.
Yeah,
we're
right, 16th. Yeah, yeah.
They have no idea which closet we're in.
Right? So, from here, usually fireworks are like, pow, pow, pow. This was just like, boom. Boom! And it was like these rolling booms because I think there just must be so many. And it was absolutely terrifying. Both of us ran to the window. We knew it was the 4th of July, but it was like a bizarre...
You just want to check.
It was a weird...
Because
and so
it was the 4th of July, actually.
Well, yeah.
It's a
so we
scary.
saw the pink coming, like pink and green coming from the east. So we're like, that's probably fireworks.
Right.
But it was really scary.
Could be a mushroom cloud.
Right. I feel like New York City, they shouldn't allow, like, explosions at that level. It's, like, just...
There's a certain boldness to it of, like, we can handle the security well enough that people are just going to trust that
it's,
this is...
Right. It is.
Forever.
It's actually really scary. And did you see... the Giants player who last year lost his finger did a PSA for fireworks safety?
Wait, did you
Jason
see...
Jason Pierre-Paul did a PSA.
Did you see that...
Wow. I was like, wow.
Nick Young did the same thing as Jason Pierre-Paul and lit a firework off and almost blew his finger off?
Yeah. I
that's got to be in the contract, right?
I mean, I like honestly,
don't do that.
I mean,
if he did that, and I was the Lakers, I'd be like, see ya, you're an idiot.
It's been overall a rough week for Nick Young with the whole... You know, Iggy Azalea leaving him and everybody finding out that he has, like, impregnated his ex, I think, again.
Oh, no.
But that's a good segue back to the NBA. So we started with Mark Cuban, Ellie's celebrity sighting of the week. And my celebrity sighting is a big day for me. Yesterday I was walking to my, one of my best friend's birthday dinners. And I was going to meet her and I was walking down Canal Street. I'm, like, late from work. And I'm kind of texting, as per usual, like, looking down at my phone, but also looking up, because I can't do one thing at a time. And so I'm walking... Yeah, I'm a multitasker. So I'm walking
down
the canal.
She's typing an email as she's talking. It's crazy.
It's actually surprising that I'm not. But so I'm walking down the street, and I see this Uber XL, which is, for those who don't know, like, a big Suburban, basically. Like a fancy... It's a large Uber, and it has, like, all black seats, like, very fancy, shiny, whatever. So I'm walking by, and the window's down of this black car, and I was like... And I see this person in it, and then I keep walking, I pass the car. And then my head is like, was that Shaq? And then I was like, I think that was Shaq. So I literally, like...
Wait, who moonwalked. Could you be mistaken for?
I mean, but it was like, it was just a random dude in the car, you know? I was like, who knows?
Right, he wasn't at
Pool House. I'm literally trying to think who else could you could mistake Shaq for.
But so he was, well, so he was sitting in a car, and the car was super dark.
Right.
You know, so then I literally, like, moonwalk backwards. Like, I don't turn around. I just, like, scooch backwards. And then I just go back, and I go.
So did you turn and just?
No, I just am, like, then at the window with him, and then I was like, hey. And he's like, hey. And then I was like, yo, what's up, Shaq? And then he was like, what's up? How are you? He's a super chill guy.
Yeah.
And then I go, I once met you in Phoenix.
And he's, I'm sure, like, you remember.
Right. He was like, okay. And then for some reason, I decided to just walk up to Shaq's car. So I just walked up to the car. And they were, like, parked car to car, like, at a red light, I mean, but for a long red light on Canal.
It seems like you guys were vibing.
We were vibing. So I was vibing hard.
He was like, oh yeah, that time in Phoenix. Yeah. What a great time.
When we talked at a red light.
Yeah. So we were vibing. Shaq and I were vibing. And then, so I, like, waltz up to the car. I was like, hey, what's up? And then he goes, and then we were, like, just chatting a little bit. And then I was like, well, so should we, like, take a picture? And he goes, yeah. So then I take the first selfie.
That's such a great way to ask you. Yeah. Like, make him decide.
Right. And so then I take the first selfie, and it was, like, a ton of sun on my unbelievably pale face. And Shaq was inside of, like, an all-black Uber XL.
There's, like, a there's some light, there light were, and
there
dark
was a lot happening there. And so it was just, like,
which
not... It was just, like, not a good picture. So then I was like, man, Shaq, that's not a good picture. He goes, let me take it. So he takes my phone. And then from inside the Uber, Shaq starts taking the selfies. And so I have a whole roll of, like... And I was like, Shaq, I look terrible in that photo. And he goes, no, you look good. And then he goes... How old are you? And I said, 28. No, just kidding, 27. So first of all, he thinks I'm an idiot because I don't know how old I am.
Or that you decided to lower your age by a year, but Liv decided too late.
And then he turns around to the people in the back seat and he goes, she's too old for you, sorry. And he goes, that's my son. And then I was like, Sharif O'Neal?
And then we because she knows what his name is, Sharif.
He's a really good basketball player. There are, like, good highlight reels of him. Anyway,
how old is he?
He's in high school, late high school.
He's starting to look at schools. Yeah. I think Shaq wants him to go, like, LSU probably. Or Ole Miss or somewhere.
And so anyway, so to make this, like, long, weird story short, then I said, yo, you gotta tell Chuck to cool it on KD.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah. And then I was like, unless you're talking too, in which case, and then he goes, no, you know I'd never do that. And then I was like, okay. And then that was it. And then I said, and then he was still parked and I was like, I should go. I was like, bye, Shaq.
I should go.
And then I just left. I did. I was like, I have dinner. Bye, Shaq.
Wow.
So that's how I met Shaq. Which sounds a lot like that's how I met Shaq. Right?
Sounds like you re-met Shaq.
You're totally right. That's how I re-met Shaq.
It was really like an old friends reunion.
Right.
It's like those movies with Ethan Hawke. Know, I can't think of the name.
Yeah.
Gattaca or something?
Yeah, that must
Gattaca. Be what I'm thinking. Oh, my God. So Gattaca is such an... I used to show that to my students.
Because
Gattaca is actually a DNA sequence.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Oh, yeah.
Because all the letters are...
Yeah, all the letters
I had
are,
to... I definitely did some sort of report on that or something.
The last thing I would say is that I similarly messed up podcast-wise, because I had enough time to get Shaq to record something to say, like, this is the replay with LNL.
Oh, my
Yo,
God.
Yo, it's Shaq. And I didn't even think of it.
Could you imagine?
No.
And you had the 30 seconds when Mark was the Super Soaker. Although Shaq would be slightly cooler.
Mark, repeat after me. He literally, like, I can't, it was, like, slow-mo, him trying to, like, figure out, like, how to put water in this thing.
Right.
Oh, my God.
So speaking of KD.
I just checked all of Mark's social
and you can't find him anywhere?
Can't find any evidence of
it. It did happen.
Ellie, where are you?
There was an article.
Why did you only snap Mark?
What do you mean?
Snap. You only put.
Oh,
Mark
I have
on
real
Snapchat.
Photos okay, on good. My. Just okay, as good. You have a whole roll of selfies.
Right.
There was actually an article on page 6 that there was, like, this yacht full of women, like, out in the Hamptons, and everyone was saying it was Mark Cuban's yacht, and Mark Cuban was like, no, it's not my yacht. Some other rich dude just likes to tell people it's mine. And I felt like I needed to call page 6 and be like, yeah, that's not his yacht. He was with me on the 4th of July.
He was spraying water at t-shirts. Yeah. It's totally unfair.
I wish that there was more coverage of... Or I wish that I participated more in the reporting of page 6. Yeah.
I think we all should. I think based on our recent encounters, we maybe could.
Like, I could just say Shaq hitting on 20, 8-ish-year-old girl on Canal Street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Shaq, like, you know, like, trying to find a date for his son.
Right.
I think if you really are going to have the chops for Page Six, you need to extend that conversation.
Right. I know. Oh, I was so close. Detail.
Next time.
God, I could have been Mrs. O'Neill. Mm. That sounds like a nice name. Alexandra O'Neill. That's
is there
nice.
Not
it's
one
pretty
now.
Irish, huh?
There is. Shaq's wife is, like, literally maybe 3'7". She's a tiny lady. He's huge, so perspective
I'm
is everything.
I'm thinking of the first wife.
But so Sharif, oh, you're thinking of Sharif's mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is a Mrs. O'Neill, but Sharif doesn't have a Mrs. I'm also not in the market to date high schoolers, so I just want to be clear about
that. Oh, that was the Mrs. O'Neill scenario you were sketching out. Well, you start the long game now.
I want to be super clear about this.
Yeah, start the long game now.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
Speaking of the long game.
Speaking of the
short game?
Well, first of all, the Mavs.
Actually.
They re-signed your boy Dirk.
Yeah, because, like, how could you not?
Well, but there's been a lot of movement of people who have stayed.
No, Dirk's not going anywhere.
But D. Wade left.
Dirk is a German in Dallas forever.
That's a bold statement.
Where's he going? He's not going anywhere.
He could go back to Germany. What if he decided to close
his
career in Europe?
No, he's not going back to Germany. They just lost the Euro semifinals. He's certainly not going back to Germany.
Right. So, D. Wade left. Were you surprised?
A little bit, but I hadn't been, because I was so wrapped up, I feel like, in the Kevin Durant stuff, I hadn't really been monitoring what was up with Dwayne.
Right.
Except, like, that he was yachting with LeBron James and Chris Paul.
Right.
And, like, snapping a ton, as we talked about last week.
He snaps so frequently.
I think it's pretty cool. I think he's kind of doing, like, a LeBron-esque, like, I'm going home thing. Do I think he's going to win a title in Chicago? No. But...
Well, considering the entire Chicago Bulls just got traded to the New York Knicks, how do you feel about that as a Knicks fan, Carl?
Like, we'll continue to be terrible, but with more recognizable names.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
That's something.
I know. I kind of... Well, so there's a part of me that definitely wanted the Melo, LeBron, Chris Paul, D-Wade super team, like the banana boat on a basketball
court. Which, in theory, should be, like, the Olympic team, but no one's playing.
But at this point, it's almost just the Golden State Warriors, but a little bit older.
It's the Golden State Warriors and the Cavs.
Right.
Literally. It's like, that's a third of the team.
So, all of this, I feel
can
like...
do statistics, too.
Yeah.
The Olympic team should play the guys who aren't going to the Olympics.
And they'd lose.
For next... Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, they
that's
totally...
That would be a good thought.
Oh, my God. I would pay so much money to see that at MSG.
Yeah.
Wow.
Warm up camp.
They should totally do that. Who should we contact?
I mean,
who do we talk to?
I work for a company that works part
right.
of ESPN. So
yeah, you should.
I probably have absolutely no way of doing that.
I'll text Shaq. You can text real people.
Why don't you run the? Yeah, why don't you take the lead on this?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm on top of it. Hold the date.
Well, so I think most importantly, I have two thoughts on all this free agency thing. One, the most important one is that if I had Kevin Durant's legs, I think I could do a lot in the world. There was video...
I'm picturing this now.
Yeah.
So am I. I'm like, but you wouldn't be able to fit into some of these lovely skirts.
Right. But I think maybe in a sexier way. Like, there would just be more leg below the skirt.
Or one skirt on each leg.
No, they're so skinny. So he got off the plane
today.
He does probably
have skinnier legs than all
Yeah,
of
he
us.
Got off the plane today and at Golden State. And he for his like first press conference, and he just walks off this little private jet, and he's going down the steps, and I was like, those legs, oh my God,
he is lanky
AF. And then my second thought is, I think Dwayne Wade has big things coming for him when he retires, because he co-hosted Live with Kelly today, and he was quite good.
Do you ever watch Live with Kelly?
I
and Michael,
isn't it in your building?
I guess I sometimes walk by it. Maybe I don't know.
Yeah, I think
do you recommend it?
I highly recommend. Kelly is perky. She really like just.
I don't think that's.
I think she's funny.
She's likable.
Yeah.
I'm a Giants fan, so I should watch.
I know. Well, no, Michael left.
Oh, so it's not Kelly and Michael.
It's just Kelly.
Live with Kelly. And now they're just like it's like constant tryouts to figure out who's.
Was Dwayne trying out?
Okay, so that's a good question. The problem is I think.
Theoretically, he can't really be trying.
He can't. Yeah, the problem
he sort
is,
of has a job.
I know.
He sort of has a job.
His timeline is off because he could have been a good follow up to Michael. And I think with less, he isn't as good as Michael, so he has less upside in terms of him leaving Kelly. He's not as quick. Yeah.
He doesn't quite have, and he has a good, you can tell he has a good personality, yeah. But he doesn't quite, I mean, Michael Strahan is just like.
Well, he seemed kind of shy today. I think this was his first thing. Michael had been doing Fox Sports, on-air broadcasting for a while. I think that this is, Dwayne Wade has done a couple playoff. He'll do, win the Heat, unfortunately, get out early. He'll, do the thing or whatever, but he's certainly not as seasoned.
The NFL season definitely gives more space.
Yeah. So, anyway, speaking of the NFL season, today?
2 days?
You guys, we have such a good through line in this episode because we're traveling to London for an NFL-related wedding, and then we're going to just stay in England for the last part of the show.
I just thought she meant that we were going to London.
Yes.
Guys, this is like a prize!
I'm in.
I was like, you didn't tell me London. This, but sure. I'm in.
Invitation offered and rescinded.
No. Imagine if
we're gonna go to London. Prices are cheap, right?
Where's
the Brexit?
Right. We're traveling to London in this podcast in our minds for Sierra and Russell Wilson's wedding.
Which, again, came out of nowhere. Literally came out of nowhere.
Nowhere.
So you Surprise told me I was wedding. Supposed to ask questions. Who's Sierra?
Great question.
Automatic, hypnotic, funky, fresh.
Got it. So if I Shazam that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Wait, can you redo it and try to Shazam it?
It doesn't work, unfortunately.
I don't think my voice matches.
So Sierra, great question. She's a singer. R&B artist. She's an artist.
I just tried to say R&B.
She's a singer.
Airbnb.
Arbtist.
Artist. Here are her facts. She's a singer. She's
stunning.
Quite tall and stunning. Really, really beautiful woman. There was a hot minute in which she was rumored to be a hermaphrodite, which mm-hmm. was, weirdly the place where she got, kind of probably the most broad notoriety.
Press.
And then she was married to Future, who is a rapper from the Drake Jumpman. We're just, so musical in this podcast.
So musical.
And now she's dating Russell Wilson.
She's been dating Russell Wilson. And you know Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just double checking. Just double checking.
So, dating Russell Wilson. And they famously came out and said that despite being two of, one of the most attractive couples together, they look, I don't actually find him that attractive, but when the two of them are together, it's holy shit.
Yeah, they're, beautiful
they're
people.
They're so beautiful together.
But, yeah, they've been
celibate
by choice this whole time.
She also has a baby with Future, and he was married, so neither of them are virgins, but they've decided to collectively not consummate the relationship until apparently last night
when because they surprise got married in London.
There were fireworks on the East River on Sunday. I'm sure there were crazy fireworks in whatever weird hotel room.
Were they promising to be celibate with everyone or just with each other?
With each other, until they.
So my point is, maybe the fireworks weren't so great if they were.
So I'm glad you brought this
right.
up. I have a theory that
a real concern.
Well, there's a bit of a concern about just in general. The risk-reward situation in terms of, waiting until you're attached for life
agree.
To that situation. Then the other thing, which is, and this is probably a controversial theory, which is, they're both so attractive, and I have a bit of, a theory that maybe attractive people just don't have to work as hard and, care about...
In bed.
Maybe, yes. And so then you put two attractive people together who have always never had to work that hard. Russell Wilson, his ex was, fine. I'm sure she, whatever. My point is, maybe together it was just we don't really know what to do because we're both so hot. We never, thought about it before. So
we're used to laying back and laying
That's
the other
my
person.
Theory that on is, their wedding night.
That's actually hilarious. And
I feel like the Seahawks press corps needs to.
Yeah, I feel like we should put that in writing. And I want to ask.
I feel like Marshawn, despite his disdain for the press, would come on our podcast.
You think?
Yeah, I lived in the East Bay. We could hang out with Marshawn.
I think if we bribed him with enough Skittles,
Skittles.
We could. If we filled the closet with Skittles. Or, all eight of your purses with Skittles and just, handed them to him and he could just, eat out of each one.
I think that in addition to just the fact they got married, it is notable that it was such a surprise.
So, I, kind of take issue with surprise weddings because I just feel like it's, like, I don't know. In theory, one day, maybe I'll get married to someone, TBD. Yeah. But, like, it just seems just seems like it should be this, like, bigger event where all your friends come and you celebrate it. But then, you know, I was talking to someone at work today, and I get why celebrities do it, because you don't want the paparazzi there, and you don't want everyone in your grill, and you don't want, like, to have to figure out if you're going to invite, like, your aunt's, like, new boyfriend from Tinder.
Right.
Or something.
Is that a real thing or just
I don't know. I hope she's not listening. She doesn't listen.
She's too busy Tinder.
Wow, anti-Tinder.
It's not Tinder. Maybe it's like OkCupid. But let's move on.
Okay, so I have a couple questions here, which is
if you have any more questions, please jump in.
There's a difference between the surprise wedding and the surprise wedding to us as normal humans.
Right, they might have known for a while.
Their friends might have gotten normal invites, because there's a like...
I feel like no one else went to that.
Did they have friends? Yeah, Kelly Rowland and Jennifer Hudson. According to TMZ, the only people I know. But the Julia Roberts literally had a surprise wedding. Like, she invited everybody somebody was just like, "You're getting married." Oprah said that. So everybody showed up to her ranch. And then they just were like, they thought it was a, like, weekend ranch situation. And then she was like, "No, surprise, we're getting married."
I don't like that.
I think that's nice. You don't like... What do you think about that, Carl? I think that's nice.
It's too spontaneous.
One thing I like about it is, like, you invited people without putting the pressure on them.
Yeah.
So they actually just wanted to hang out.
Yeah.
They weren't like, "Oh, I gotta get... Oh, Julia's getting married."
Right. Yeah, classic,
like,
Julia.
Like, what am I gonna wear?
I just wanna
give them?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
But then it means some really special people might not have known they had to be there.
Right. I think that there's something nice about the fact that it's a little spontaneous. And then the other thing, which is just, like, it's not as much pomp and circumstance. I Googled spontaneous weddings before we started this. And I just want to share with you before we dive into the main part of our podcast, that if you want to get married in an impromptu wedding, Huffington Post has an article called "How to Have an Impromptu Wedding." And it's not surprisingly... the directions are based on the experience of a couple called Caitlin and Drew to go to Costco.
Go to Costco and get what?
Hors d'oeuvres, cocktails. They have a great wine section. And then they got, which actually, as my family can attest to, there's nothing I love more than Costco sheet cakes. Actually, that's one of the only significant segments we've cut from the podcast, was my 15-minute rant on sheet cakes.
You missed that, Carl.
I can't believe there have been outtakes.
Oh, like, there
are there
we
subscriber
don't, we don't
options?
Do. Yeah,
or...
maybe we should include that. Yes.
Maybe.
For a premium price.
Yeah, maybe one day we'll do bonus.
Right, bonus.
Bonus clips.
Costco. It'll all be Costco.
Costco cake
It'll
sheets.
All be about Costco. Anyway.
Their hors d'oeuvres are solid.
Everything about
Costco is like a solid institution.
Put them on like a nice tray held by a tuxedo clad server.
Right.
And
they'll
class it up.
Class it up.
I mean, and
damn straight, they'll class
you
it
get
up.
To it's like the tasting that everybody does for their wedding, you can do because they have sample stations everywhere. I would totally do a Costco wedding now that I say it. I think I'm going to.
All right.
I love it.
Surprise me next week.
I'll surprise you. I'm on the hunt for anyone listening if you want to get married and go to Costco.
I think Elle meant surprise me as in she would be surprised at her own wedding.
I'll throw you a surprise wedding.
That would be great.
Surprise is
just like the main component, like that other person.
Yeah, who knows? You'll be surprised. Okay. It's going to be awesome. It might be Sharif O'Neill, so you might get arrested. all right, so let's dive into the main thing, which
is Sharif.
I like that.
Yeah.
Sharif.
Why Carl has joined us today, because he is an expert
Carl's
in many things.
Finally.
But he is an expert in particular in the lovely sport of tennis.
That's right.
Is it like by far your favorite sport?
I think it is now, yeah.
When did you first get into tennis writing?
I think 2003 or something. So I used to work at the Wall Street Journal, and their website had figured out that they could just ask the U.S. Open for a credential, and if they wrote a few articles about it during the tournament, whether or not people read it, that would, like, justify the credential, which I'm not giving away any secrets because that's more than many places that have credentials do with their credential. And people took it seriously, but it was just, it wasn't a sports-focused publication. Right. And one year I asked, because I had liked tennis and played it, so I said, hey, can I get the credential this year? And nobody else claimed it, so I got it, and it was great. I mean, I went every day that I could.
Oh,
and
shit, that's awesome.
I was also trying to be more of a writer. I was more of an editor at the time there, but wanted to get to write more. I might be getting the timing wrong, but whatever.
It's something like this story.
Again,
a detail.
Yeah. You can Google it later.
Yeah.
And so I took it really seriously and wrote a lot.
Yeah.
And just found it so fun to be there and have sort of the low pressure experience of they would publish what I wrote, but it wouldn't make or break the website.
Right.
And yeah, I've just been into it since. I didn't really, really get into it until moving to London a few years ago, though, because that meant going to Wimbledon and the French Open. Wimbledon credential.
Wow!
And also managing, coincidentally, to always schedule a trip back to New York during the U.S. Open. So
I'm sure it was a total coincidence.
It was good. I think 3 different years I went to those 3 in a row.
Have you ever been to the Australian
And I never
Open?
Completed the slam.
Wow.
Yeah. This year was close, but it didn't work out, so...
Like, so many greats, you're so close.
Exactly.
You're basically just, like, Novak or Serena. Yeah.
Well, they at least got the 4 in a row. I can't even claim that.
That's true.
I'm like Sampras.
Why are you
Sampras
not...
Sampras never won the French.
Is this a sore subject? Why are you not at Wimbledon right now?
This wedding.
I mean, I prefer that you're here.
This podcast. He's here for this,
mainly
podcast,
this podcast,
to be clear.
Mainly this podcast. Also, like, I wasn't going to miss this wedding.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I went. And it's been fine to not be there. Mostly, especially because there were so many rain delays last week.
Right,
A lot of sour grapes were consumed.
Yeah.
Not being there, especially these last few days and this weekend, tough. Like, Federer had that amazing comeback the other day.
It was
day.
Amazing. Yeah. Oh, my God. I like, missed meetings because I couldn't tear myself away.
It was amazing.
It was one of those moments when I feel like suddenly the world is joining me in my little crazy corner. Yeah. Like, people I don't know even know who Federer is or are... not paying attention at work or
do you think that there are people who don't know, like, so I grew up in a family that was very into tennis. My dad played tennis in college, and he was an all-American tennis player, played a little bit professionally until his parents made him go to law school because no fun. What up, Dad? This will be actually, Carl, thanks to you, my father will finally listen to our podcast.
Woo!
He hasn't listened to the first 25?
My dad is an extremely devoted dad who literally doesn't know who any celebrity in the entire universe is.
I've learned a lot by this.
I know, you really have. You're just, like, really going to pull him in. So he is both a daily reader of the Wall Street Journal and a daily reader of any, or a daily viewer of anything tennis related.
Wow.
So through you, I've been pulling, I'm like, Dad, look what's coming.
You're bringing people together.
Yeah, you're just bringing us all together. So all that is to say that I grew up loving tennis and it was always on in my house, in particular Saturdays and Sundays of, like, Grand Slams or like ATP, any, like, tour tournament. But I feel like starting with Sampras, I mean, even probably earlier, but, like, people who transcended beyond the tennis universe, and I would definitely categorize someone like Federer in that.
Yeah, that was probably a slight exaggeration, although I think he's nowhere in the U.S. like he is in the rest of the world. Like, probably most people have heard of him, maybe, at least in New York.
Right.
But he's got to be one of the most popular and admired people in the world. I mean, there are polls that show this, and I don't feel that at all being in New York.
That's
Whereas
true.
In London, I mean, U.S. Open fans love him, for sure, but I feel like the average New Yorker not so much. Whereas there was this feeling anywhere you went in London of just, like, love for Federer, especially during Wimbledon. Even sometimes against Andy Murray.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I feel like I remember picking up on that. Did they play each other last year? Or maybe I'm thinking
they did.
Of the...
They did, in the semis.
Yeah.
And it was kind of awkward.
It was a weird thing, because you could sense that, like, everyone should be rooting for Andy, but
they did root
the
for him in the Olympic final in 2012 against Federer, because it was, like, for the country.
That.
And they've rooted... It's split, but, like, you'd think it shouldn't even be split.
But it's crazy that it's split,
Yeah, and Andy Murray's pretty likable. I mean,
So
he's kind of
your...
a brat on the court, which I like, but some of the sort of more traditionally minded British tennis fans find not as classy as they call Federer, which is
alas. He does. He exudes class. I don't know if it's
does.
That white headband or the flow or what it is.
His hairline is remarkable. He's not young. And it's just like thanks. Out there.
He's younger than me.
I've also.
Is he?
He's 34, I think. He turns 35.
Why do I think he was like pushing
no.
like 40?
I don't know.
In my mind, all these athletes are 40.
Because he's been like, so. He's been so dominant. Like, he's
for
been.
So long.
It seems like he's been so dominant for so long. Can we just, like, I just need to point this out.
Yeah.
His wife has gotten so glamorous over the years.
Yeah, she did not start out glam.
Back in the day, she was just kind of, like, you know, cute.
Well, she was a jock. That was, like, her main thing. She was a tennis player.
Yeah, but then now, like, oh my gosh, the other day, she was, like, the hair, the sunglasses, like.
Well, they hang out with Anna Wintour.
Versace, like, overcoat.
Do you wear Versace overcoats everywhere?
If I had Versace overcoats, I would wear them every day.
If you were in Federer's box, they would give you
one. Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
Speaking of tennis couples,
but
what
like
are
her.
Your thoughts on Andre? Andre, my good friend Andre. Steffi.
First name basis.
Yeah.
Steffi.
Fascinating. Like, you know, he talks a lot in the book about how he always had a crush on her, but it just seems like such an odd couple to me.
Yeah.
They were so different in terms of their personalities on and off the court while playing.
Right.
And maybe that's what attracted him to her. I don't know what she saw in him, even though I was an Agassi fan.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, you were.
I was, yeah, more than Sampras.
You kind of like have a Pete Sampras vibe. Do you
I've
get that?
I've gotten that. I don't play at all like him.
Wow. Right.
So he kind of like looks like Pete Sampras.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been, he's Greek American, I think. I've been mistaken for Sam.
Right. I thought you were going to say you've been mistaken for Pete Sampras.
Not quite. So once.
That would be kind of cool.
That'd be cool. That's a compliment.
I've also been told, and also it's absurd, but I've also been told I look a little like Federer. So maybe it's like.
Actually,
no, that's
not super weird.
You have a good you have a good hairline for the for the headband. If I do say
I
it on
I should start
myself.
Wearing one.
You should actually do tomorrow on Twitter. You should do a like.
Side by side.
Sampras, Federer, Carl.
Like,
thing. And you in the middle. I think that maybe that's who you are.
That could intimidate the guy on Twitter yesterday who was yelling at me that, like, I must have never played tennis because of something I wrote.
What the hell?
And I'm like, oh, do you want to play sometime? And he's like, I was a nationally ranked junior. Anytime, I'll embarrass you.
Yeah.
Which he probably would, but I have played tennis. So.
Who is your worst troll that you've ever experienced? And what were you writing about?
Anything? I was writing, so I wrote a column for the journal called Numbers Guy, and I wrote about this study about, you've probably heard this thing of, like, kids who are read to a certain number of times like do much better in life than kids who aren't.
Yeah.
Right.
And it turns out it was all based on a study of like 20 kids, including I think the researchers' kids were included in it. It was just like a really small sample. So I just wrote an article saying this thing's probably true, but this study isn't really like a full study.
Legit?
And I talked to the person who wrote the study who was very forthcoming about, like I never thought it would take off like this. I totally think it should be researched more. And didn't think much of it. And then somebody started a blog that was basically just to tear into me and would like post things online and email me about
it. Oh my god.
And was mostly targeting that.
Yeah.
And I said, I think you're barking up the wrong tree. Like, I haven't heard anything from the researcher. She didn't seem to have a problem with it. I think it was like a former grad student who felt aggrieved. Anyway, so this went on for like a few articles, and I just thought this person would be with me forever, and eventually he or she got bored and
Ellie, we aren't doing something right. We don't have any people writing counter blogs to our podcast.
Mark Cuban's not doing much these days.
I know.
So
where is Mark?
Okay, so Carl, give us your predictions for what you think for the weekend.
Can we re-record this if this runs after the semis tomorrow?
For sure.
I'll totally be right.
Right.
Okay. So we know now, as of recording, that Serena Williams and Angelique Kerber are playing in the women's final.
Correct. Super sad. No all Williams fans.
It is sad. And there might never be another one. It's probably the best chance.
You think Venus is going to retire soon?
I don't know if she'll retire soon, but she's giving no indication of it. She could probably play doubles forever with her sister.
Did they make
awesome.
The doubles finals?
I think they made the semis today. I think
they won today.
They won today. Yeah, it was a good match. But in terms of singles, Venus has struggled to make it this far. Like, this is her first semi in a really long time. So.
Well, can I ask the question which I asked my dad this weekend, which is why are they still playing doubles? I know they like to, but just from like tired and age, do you think if she hadn't played doubles, would she have done better in singles, or is it just like not related?
Well, a few things. One, they rarely play doubles these days.
Okay.
But the Olympics is coming up.
They will play in the
so
Olympics.
So whenever
right.
the Olympics comes up, they take it really seriously again.
Got
they used
it.
To play doubles more often. They also, I mean, they definitely want to win in doubles, especially because, you know, they're sisters and all that. But I think they just practice less because they're playing doubles, so they get practice in match setting. Mm-hmm. And especially on grass where you come to net a lot, it's good to have doubles practice where you're at net. The problem with the way Wimbledon is set up, that theoretically you could have a third set that goes on for a really long time in doubles and you could actually get tired. But
right.
I know neither of you play that much tennis, but doubles really isn't that tiring.
Like, because you just don't move as much.
You cover half the court.
And London in July usually isn't that hot, yeah. And you're on grass, which is much cooler than like a hard court. God. So it's kind of nice.
So what we're saying is basically it's no excuse.
So should you and I enter the doubles at Wimbledon next year?
Yes.
Do you think we can
wild
go
card.
Far? Yeah, wild
yeah,
card.
We can be like that guy who ended up playing Fed in the second round.
Oh, yeah. That's one of my questions for later.
Ooh, yes.
Oh, shoot.
Okay. So
oh, shoot. Jump the gun.
Okay. No, no, no.
We have a couple more things before we dive into the game.
Oh, and I haven't. Do you still want predictions? I'm fine.
Oh,
to
yeah,
tap
I do
out
actually.
Well, I
oh
want to know. I want to know. I want to know. Yeah. So Serena versus
Serena Kerber.
Kerber.
So it's a rematch of the Australian Open final.
Yes.
Kerber upset her. It was
ooh,
shocking.
Yeah.
I think Kerber has a chance, but Serena Williams is so good on grass and looks so good today that I would pick her
well.
Probably like 60-70%.
Yeah. Okay.
Tomorrow, men's semis, Federer, Raonic. On paper, Federer should win in terms of like he's beaten him 9 out of 11 times or something. But he just played a really tiring match. Raonic is playing really well. He's had injury problems this year. I'm going to give Raonic a slight edge.
Ooh.
Slight edge.
Well, that makes... Okay, I agree with that. Based
Stop
on
me.
My
Ellie's
lack
decided
of...
I'm slightly hedging, too, because I want Federer to win.
Yeah.
So this way I can
right.
only say I was right.
Because you guys
are
related.
Totally. Long-lost brothers. And then Murray's playing Burdick, and Murray usually dominates Burdick. He also had a tough match, but not that tough.
Right.
And
He's at home.
He's really good on grass. I think he'll win that. And then in the final, I think Murray wins whoever he plays, most likely.
Wow.
But Federer has kind of dominated him recently, which is also one of my questions later. So,
oh my goodness.
We're going to get none right. It's going to be so fun.
So bad.
Well, we have retaliatory questions for you.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
All right, I'm ready.
I think I got some stumpers.
Up your sleeveless dress. So, speaking of, earlier you mentioned, before we get into the game, earlier you mentioned if you are in Federer's box, you might be Anna Wintour. Mm-hmm. The celebrity power at Wimbledon is such a thing.
Yeah.
And it's true at the U.S. Open, but I feel like Wimbledon is just as like...
Well, Wimbledon is royalty.
It's British, and it's so classy.
It's like what you texted me or emailed me and said, Wimbledon Beckham is your favorite David Beckham.
It's my favorite David Beckham.
Like, it's just something about the whole thing. I've never been to Wimbledon, but I feel like that's on my bucket... Like, that's on my, like, life bucket list, just so I can be like,
it's
I'm...
as good as you think.
Yeah.
It's so good.
But the strawberries and cream, like,
right.
I want to know more.
Know.
Pims,
yes. Alcohol, strawberries, David Beckham, sign me up.
I mean, it's... And,
the star
and,
power is high.
Yeah. And
because there's the royal box. Too,
right,
which is
right.
And the royal box is always... Well, so, I feel like the past couple days, Will and Kate haven't shown up this year.
Oh, Kate,
they?
Yeah, today, Kate Middleton and Serena got, they did, like, a Snapchat selfie in the locker room after Serena
Snapchat
won.
Is just everywhere.
That's,
I know.
It's good to be the...
Yeah.
Not
is
the queen,
queen
quite, no.
Soon,
I almost said
the soon-to-be queen.
To
Serena
be
is the queen.
Right,
that's what
Serena
I was
is the
yeah.
queen. That's the right way to put that.
It was cute.
So, and I think part of it, too, more interesting probably to me than to you, is that it also brings tennis royalty, like,
ooh,
partially because it's Wimbledon and it has all that prestige and fame, but I think it's also just where a lot of famous old tennis players go because they commentate on TV there, or it's just a nice place to live, it's a lot of tennis courts, so Rod Laver goes all the time, and they just get people to go there. It's kind of convenient from all the other major slams, so... Just about every big match, they'll pan to the crowd and you'll see. And tennis is really good about keeping the former greats in the fold. So they all comment for TV. They all play in like the Legends events at these tournaments.
Right.
That's really cool.
So people seem to age well with the sport and like stick with the sport, which is nice.
I feel like that is actually something that I wish I had. So I didn't play tennis past probably like 8 or 9 because... I only play tennis in the summer, and it is so hot in Arizona in the summer, and I'm so pale that I used to just have to get coated with sunscreen, and then I would sweat all the sunscreen, and it was in my eyes, and my options were, like, tennis or swimming, and I was like, well, I could be in 120-degree heat
tennis. Or swimming,
or in a pool, and I'm like, clear choice.
Yeah,
so I did that, but the thing that I'm actually very jealous of my dad is he plays tennis, until he got his hips replaced, sorry, actually, he's super proud of his hips replacement. If you met him, he would, like, demonstrate them for you. But he played every day until then. Because he would play, yeah. My dad will play with someone who can barely hit the ball. Well, he'll play with literally anybody, because it's such a nice, like, casual social sport.
And it's, like, golf. It's, like, one of those sports you can play over a lifetime.
Yeah, and even now that doubles. Even after his, like, hip replacement, he's also very tall, but, like, he doesn't move a ton. But he can still hit the... He can go out there and hit the ball.
Yeah.
I played with some old-timers who, even if they can't move well, are just so smart with what they do with the ball, that you do all the moving. And,
right.
Yeah, I would say you don't have to feel bad. Like, you could still pick it up. I just played last night with a guy named Jerry Marzorati, who just wrote a book called Late to the Ball.
Yeah.
And that's a tennis expression, but it's also indicating he was late to picking up tennis. Oh, like, he always liked it.
Right.
And it's all just, like, about his quest in his, I think, 50s and 60s to kind of go from maybe never having played or barely having played to trying to play competitively. And, you know, he's dealt with some physical ailments, but he's also in great shape and, like, running all over the court and just enjoying the hell out of himself. And he'll probably play for the rest of his life. And
damn, that's so cool.
It was a lot of fun to play with him.
As someone who plays, how often do you play? Like, once or twice a week? Or like,
try to play 3 or 4 times a week.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Do you feel like watching... like Federer, Wimbledon, do you feel like you, like, pick up things when you're watched? Like, I kind of feel like I...
So, like, how close are you to Federer?
So, no, I mean...
He doesn't need to play at Wimbledon. We just talk.
Right,
about practice groups, totally.
He's like, you need a little bit more spin on
right.
that.
No, I definitely... one of the things I also really like about it is that even though, like, there's no way I could return a serve he hit or, like, even deal with his spin, let's say, you can still, like, adapt tactics at just about every level.
Yeah.
They don't change that much.
Right.
Whereas, you know, things that basketball players try, like, you just can't try.
Like,
Maybe you can try.
I'll probably never be able to windmill dunk, but...
You can still try.
But you can, like, smash a ball away at the net. You can hit a drop shot. You can, like, flummox your opponent with a slice.
Right.
You can, you know, hit a lot of topspin and pull them off the court.
I feel like flummox is a word we underuse. On this podcast and generally.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to bring that out.
Yeah.
Now.
It's a tennis word.
Okay, so I have some questions that were submitted by a listener of the replay, specifically for Carl.
By your dad?
Not my dad, actually.
Oh, he's not a listener.
Because he's not a listener.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask all of them because there are so many and I feel like we're already running so long on time.
I have a few too, but we'll see.
But, okay, who do you like to watch the most? Not statistically or, like...
Your personal...
Just aesthetically, like...
It's such a boring answer, but Federer.
Yeah. My dad has the same answer, which is he says, like, there are so many more people who are more powerful, but he says more than any other player when he watches him, it's like, how did he just do that?
Yeah. But I think beyond the cliche, like, there's so many other players who are fun to watch.
Yeah.
Part of the fun of Federer is that you can watch him and appreciate all that, but he also does really well.
Yeah.
Like, there's a guy named Dustin Brown, who, if you ever have a chance to watch, he beat Nadal at Wimbledon last year. He's great fun to watch, does amazing things. But if you became his diehard fan, you'd be disappointed a lot because he loses all the time and doesn't even qualify for tournaments. So you kind of get both with Federer, which is part of the fun.
Interesting. Okay.
Huh.
Do you have another you want to ask
Dustin Brown? Well, yeah, I had a listener, not one of my coworkers who's really into tennis, wants to know if you think Djokovic will catch up to Federer in terms of major titles.
Yeah. So he's at 12, Federer's at 17.
Right.
He won the last 4 before Wimbledon.
Right.
I think I, like many people, thought he would win Wimbledon. And I think if he did, he would have seemed unstoppable. But the way he lost, like, he got upset by Querrey, who'd never really beat anyone big. It's made it seem less likely, but he's still going to be the favorite at every Grand Slam for the foreseeable future. I think odds are, just because he's 29 already, he probably won't, but I wouldn't put it much below 50%.
Okay.
And I know a lot of people would be upset, but Djokovic is amazing to watch.
Yeah.
And has earned everything he's won, so I would not be so sad if he somehow pulled it off.
I like Djokovic because he has celiac, as do I. We're both gluten-free together. Novak and I talk a lot about
that. He knows, like, the baker in Paris to go to during the French Open for the gluten-free.
Yeah. Does he?
Yeah.
Novak is so gluten-free.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a great little...
But aren't a lot of... haven't a lot of athletes at this point gone gluten-free?
He's the only one that I've read. Like, he actually... I'm pretty sure he actually has celiac, and it actually was, like, a thing where... when he made that transition, it made an actual difference in his game.
Because he attributes his going from great to unstoppable, really good, in large parts, his diet.
His lack of gluten.
He also, meditates. He always finds a Buddhist temple near the tournament that he can go to during the tournament.
He just seems like a really nice human.
It's interesting. He's not nice on the court.
Yeah, but I think, But one thing I like about both him and Nadal is they both felt, even through their rivalry, and even... It felt like... They always just felt like good people. I don't know.
He also Novak is really funny. Good shots. Yes,
that's
true. Funny.
Novak is so funny. Have you ever seen him on the Tonight Show or anything?
I have a question also about that.
Oh,
I
don't know. Yes. All right, let's go to the game.
We should go to the game.
We have so much more, my hatred for Stan Smith's shoes that I could talk about for an hour. So maybe we'll just another podcast.
The replay
on
should just be a tennis podcast.
The replay is going to be coming.
I'm sure that's what all your listener survey respondents said.
Yeah. No, so I think our listener survey respondents, we will do maybe an episode where we just read some of them because. They're funny.
Are they funny?
Some of them are funny, but I do think that
that's good.
I think tennis will be good because there are a number of people who said non-basketball sports. They liked when we talked about that. So here we are talking about tennis.
Guys, there's nothing else besides basketball in Wimbledon.
And Wimbledon. Yeah. No, I love the U.S. Open. I'm going to go.
I know.
I'm so excited.
And, I'm here to talk about golf whenever anybody wants.
All right, so the way that this game is going to work.
Really quickly, did you see Danny Willett? Danny Willett, who won the Masters, wore his Masters green jacket to Wimbledon.
Oh, no, that's a really classy move.
Right?
That's
is that not like...
Wow.
Oh.
Do you think he just wears it everywhere? He just happened to wear it to Wimbledon? Wimbledon is very green, so...
Yeah, I think it actually... It probably, fit in perfectly. Yeah. People probably didn't even, blink an eye.
I should say one thing.
Yes.
I know we keep saying just one thing, but...
Since
you said classy, and I think we've all said classy at some point, I know there's someone who, if she listens, is going to call me out on this. There's a debate about how it's used, especially in tennis, because tennis already, I think in a previous podcast, you referred to it as kind of a rich person sport.
Yes.
And it already can have a lot of class connotations to it.
Yeah, that's true.
And Djokovic, for instance, some people think that one of the reasons the English crowd hasn't embraced him is that there's stereotypes about Eastern Europeans and prejudice. And I just wish there were better, elegant, I guess is a good word, but something that doesn't sort of get into class in the way we
have that connotation.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I actually think that is a struggle that swimming has, I think tennis has, and I think because they are from older eras, unfortunately, what we're deemed as country club sports.
Country club sports.
And I think that the national or international bodies have made actually a pretty significant effort in terms of broader adoption and equity and trying to support courts and neighborhoods that didn't used to exist. But I think that the unfortunate truth is there still isn't equal access for everybody to these types of sports. And and I think it was funny because I was watching the U.S. swimming trials, and it is still just such a predominantly white sport. And it's something where I was talking to my parents about it, and I was saying it's just so, it's expensive, it's time consuming, you have to get your kids to practice at 5 in the morning, and then at 4 p.m., there's so much about it that I think can and should be done to progress that forward, and so I think that that's a really good point, though, about thinking about them more broadly.
Let's get funny again.
Let's call it elegant.
Yeah.
Okay, that works. Elegant.
Do you want me to say
elegant? Did you just like that because it has your name in it?
No. but now that you said
wait,
that.
Wait, do you want to start, or is Carl going to ask us
both
questions?
Oh, yeah.
So Carl's going to ask us both questions, and then if we get one right, we get to ask Carl a question.
So am I asking you two together? As a group, you get to confer?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, we probably need to confer.
Okay, so I've got a lot, but let me start. So you mentioned, we don't have to do all of them. You mentioned that there was an English guy, Federer, played at Wimbledon, who was ranked, I think, 772nd coming into the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this great story that everyone was talking about. What was his nickname earlier in his career? It's a character on South Park.
Cartman.
Very good.
Really?
That was such a good hint.
Is it funny that I knew he was a little chubbier and I was just going to say Chubbs?
Yeah, I was thinking it might be too big a hint, but it might be too hard otherwise.
Yeah, I would have had no idea otherwise. Okay, we get to ask Carl
That's
a
amazing.
Question.
Okay, you go.
All right. So here's my question. What is the fastest serve in men's and women's tennis history?
What is the speed?
The number or the hit player?
Both. Ideally.
Okay.
But you can
whatever
try
you got.
So on the men's side, I'm pretty sure you'll have down there Sam Groff.
I do.
I think it was 163. Yeah. In the neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's controversial about whether that speed number was right because no one has come close at events with better speed guns. Right. He does hit a really fast serve, but people think maybe it was like a bad gun.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
He's great. He's an Aussie who every time
was
he tosses.
Was it Mark Cuban's water gun?
Possibly.
I got 163. Resign, jerk.
You don't want to be hit by water at 163.
Yeah.
Women's, is it? Oh, that's tough. I mean, Lisicki?
Yes. Carl, God, you're so good.
131?
What? Yes!
Wow.
Ellie,
he's an expert.
We have to find harder questions.
Well, I've written an article about surf speeds, but I wasn't sure about that.
Okay, my question about surf speeds is I think that there is watching a fast server is awesome. Like, as I didn't even dive into the full depth of my Andy Roddick love. But, he set the record, I think, at, 149 mm-hmm. and then 151 or whatever when he was playing. But there has to be kind of a cutoff to their span as a tennis player just because it is so taxing on their shoulder or no.
That's interesting.
Is there no relationship?
That's something I've wanted to study, so I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you one of the best old guys now is Ivo Karlovic.
Yeah.
He's like 7 feet or 6'11",
right.
And he hits some of the fastest serves.
Yeah, he was, I think, second to Samuel.
And part of it is if you hit a serve that fast consistently, A, you're not going to have many long rallies when you're serving, and
right.
B, you don't have to be a good returner, which Karlovic is not. He's terrible.
Right.
Sorry, Ivo. But that just means short rallies all over, so if your shoulder can withstand it, then the rest of your body is going to not have much strength.
What about when you look at, Isner? He's had so many long matches because he basically never loses serve, but then he can't break serve. So it's just, all of a sudden, you might have short rallies, but you're going into,
It's true. But he doesn't, he hasn't gotten injured from them. He's just lost next match. But, I think for some people, it'll just mean that they'll have short careers because their arm can't stand it. But for those who can... Isner might still be having, 19, 17 fifth sets in 10 years. And some people will be very sad to see that.
Do you think he looks just like a really tall Andy Roddick? Because sometimes I think
I don't think he looks like Andy Roddick at all.
Right. I mean, all the American men sort of have the same fashion.
Anyway.
Right, Roddick had his distinctive, pulling on his shirt.
Andy Roddick was pretty distinct. And Isner's just a giant.
Yeah. Well,
poor John.
Gentle giant. I love Andy.
John follows me on Twitter, so he might listen to this episode.
Oh, John.
He definitely should. Hey, John.
He works very hard. So it's my turn to ask one.
Yes.
Right? Okay. So this is a two-part question.
Okay.
But if you don't get the first, you can still get the second.
Okay.
So we were talking about Federer and Murray in London and how sometimes the fans pull for Federer, even though Murray's a Brit. So in 2014, there's a tournament at the end of the year called the World Tour Finals, mm-hmm. which is in London. And it's all the best men playing each other. And Federer that year played Murray, beat him in the first set 6-love, and in the second set went up 5-love, had a game point. If he had won that game point, he would have won 6-love, 6-love. Okay. What is that score called? What's a nickname for that score?
My love
12,
life.
12-love.
Sometimes I eat this for breakfast.
Baker's? No.
Bialy?
A dozen donuts.
That's a good name, actually. No, it's a double bagel.
A double bagel. That's really cute. That was such a good way to
Do you eat a dozen donuts for breakfast?
Why not? Yeah.
I probably have at some point.
A double bagel. Good to know.
All right, so there's a whole other thing, but I'm going to skip ahead to the end of the question, which is, so then Murray was eliminated from the tournament. Federer made the final.
Okay.
He was supposed to play Djokovic, but he had an injury from the match the day before. He withdrew. I was there. He came out onto the court, very dramatic, and was like, I can't play this match, which he has never done, especially for a big match. And all these people had paid all this money to be there, so they had to figure out what to do. So they had to call someone to play Djokovic for an exhibition.
Uh-huh.
And Murray is a Brit, lives in London. Right. They called him up. He was playing a video game at the time. He had nothing better to do. What video game was he playing?
What is World of Warcraft?
That is really good, but no. He's playing Mario Kart.
That's
innocent.
That's so vintage.
That's really
cute. Yeah, that's great.
That's really great. That's such a good... Wow, that's such a good piece of trivia.
That just made him so likable.
So we got that one wrong, so you get to ask us another one.
Okay, so we talked about Serena Williams.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we talked about how... Unlike me, she has won 4 consecutive majors.
Right.
The first time she did that, which was in starting in 2002, ending in 2003, she called it something. Because it wasn't a Grand Slam. It was a...
Serena Slam.
Very good.
Yes.
Wow.
But it's a two-part question.
Okay.
She beat the same player in all four finals. Who was that?
It was
We're
I'm glad I got you past that one.
No, can't be that. Who is like still relevant?
That early. That I don't know.
Early.
I know.
Not
Venus?
Hint.
An American.
Oh, I feel like I don't. I
know. I feel like I'm Monica Seles? No.
No, that's really.
Wait, is that your guess?
All right, let it be your guess.
Yeah.
She did become an American. Like, she wasn't.
Right, but wasn't Monica Seles too old to play Serena Williams in 2002?
I think she was. I'm trying to remember the dates.
Did Monica Seles really get stabbed on a tennis court?
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn. That is a crazy thing that happened.
Like Nancy Kerrigan.
It was Venus.
Yeah, that is like. It was Venus?
It was Venus.
I was going to guess Venus! Ah!
Damn it. That was my...
Okay, okay, because in our heads we were going to guess Venus, we're asking...
Oh, yeah. Fair enough. The heads got it right.
I have a quick one.
Yes. Ellie has such better handwriting than I do.
I do. But I also have fancier pens.
I do.
I have my phone and you have these nice books.
Who has the loudest grunt ever recorded?
Oh, Larcher de Brito?
According to Wimbledon's fun fact website that I found... earlier today, it was Maria Sharapova she was at 101.2 decibels.
That's real, that's like grunt. Half of the Superdome at, what?
Also, thoughts on Maria Sharapova, quickly.
She's a great tennis player.
Yeah.
she was either extremely careless with her, you know, medicine or was cheating.
Right.
And she hadn't made enough like friends in the women's tennis world, I think, to stick up for. Not that it would have made a difference necessarily. Like, they made the judgment based on the facts, but there wasn't like an outpouring of support.
Yeah.
Right.
In terms of the grunting.
Yeah, in terms of the grunting.
Maybe that was specific to Wimbledon, though.
Well, so the Wimbledon people are obsessed with it, and I think it can get. Like, definitely there are people, men and women, who find players making loud noises annoying.
Yeah.
And especially in Britain, the media coverage can get pretty sexist. Like, they'll call it shrieks for women. There are plenty of men who make really loud noises.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's tough. Like, there are enough people out there on social media who will tell you, like, they will never watch Sharapova because of the noise she makes.
Wow.
But I don't know if that's like a real thing or if it's just a bunch of angry men who
that's so crazy.
Don't think it's classy.
Right.
Like,
you know. Classy, exactly.
I could see, this is going to sound so bad, I could see my dad being like, my dad doesn't like Sharapova because she's like, he just finds it annoying.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like she's a female. Like, it's just like, he's like, why are you yelling?
I think you can aesthetically legitimately find it.
Yeah, I think you can too.
And so, if some people say, like, oh, these players don't do it when they practice, so clearly they don't.
Right. It is a weird thing that I feel like has to be a little bit learned in terms of, and I felt this when I would do, like, certain things in swimming or whatever, like, you see an older person do it, it wasn't necessarily making noise, but if that is kind of the thing, because when people play tennis, they don't just naturally grunt. It is a, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a learned thing.
All right, hit us with another question, Carl. We'll do one or two more.
Okay. So, men or women?
Ooh.
Oh,
well, we're ladies, so let's do.
Okay.
We're definitely not ladies, but
we're not women. Ladies at all.
Well, we're going to stick with the Williams sisters.
Yeah.
Because we should. Did you read the story about the Williams Invitational this year? Have you heard of this?
Mm-mm.
Each sister, Serena and Venus, forms a team. And they compete in a variety of events, and they're as competitive or more as they would be if they were playing each other.
What are the events? I want to go.
There are many, including several sports, but the one that they apparently take the most seriously is the dance competition.
Oh, oh dear God.
This article is amazing, and there's video,
That's
and I highly recommend it, and you should put it in your show notes.
I definitely will.
But this is sort of a basketball crossover question.
Yeah, wow.
Which four-time Olympic gold medalist in basketball was on Venus's team this year?
Can I ask, is it it's a woman?
It's a woman. This is an all-woman
question. So to be clear, it's not Drake.
Four-time.
How many Olympic golds has he won?
Unfortunately, none, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, he's Canadian. He hasn't won any Olympic golds. four-time
gold winner.
I want to say Tamika Catchings.
That's a good guess.
Tamika Catchings.
Lisa Leslie.
Ooh.
Oh my God.
Lisa Leslie. So vintage.
Dude, that's
was
vintage.
Was she on the LA Sparks? Like the first I LA Sparks so. Team?
She is the first woman to have a recorded dunk.
Yeah.
In a game.
Wow. Not you?
No, they didn't count my 7th grade meal. Wow.
Okay, I have a sister question for you.
Lisa Leslie hasn't come up in life in a while.
An unfortunate amount of time. So Carl is going to definitely know the answer to this question, but maybe others listening won't. When was the last All-Williams final? Where and who won?
Ooh, no, I don't know. And I was just looking at this today. In a Grand Slam?
Yes. Actually, yes, in a Grand Slam. I only looked at that.
So it was before 2010 in the final. It would have been 2008 or 2009 at Wimbledon is my guess. 2008 Wimbledon?
So close. 2009 Wimbledon. Who won?
Was that Venus's last one? I think Serena's beaten her most of the time. I think it was Serena.
It was Serena.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, I don't remember Venus winning one in a while.
It's been a while.
She won 7-6, 6-2. Yeah. All right.
You know what? I watched that. I remember watching
it. It was a good match. Okay, hit us with your last question, and then we have a closeout for Carl.
Okay. Here we go. So, men or women?
Let's do men.
Yeah, let's do men. We have none in our lives, so let's ask them about that.
So since we've been talking a lot about London, and we talked about Andy Murray and Brexit and so on. So in 2006, this was 10 years ago, he was a teenager. Andy Murray is still getting grief for answering a question by saying anyone but England. This was in 2006. Okay. What was he talking about?
Posh Spice. I'm just kidding.
Anyone but England?
Yeah. What was he answering or what was he talking about?
I think he was talking about... I feel like Andy Murray, isn't Andy Murray, never mind,
don't generalize.
I feel like it was about soccer, or football, maybe, as the Brits say.
I mean, I think that seems like the logical and obvious answer, but it seems too easy.
Does it?
Well, no, let's guess it.
What do you have?
I guess Posh Spice.
What?
Well, she's like the queen of British football.
Okay,
so
I say the queen of football. It was referring to some sort of football, a European football match.
Be a little more specific.
The World Cup.
Very good. 2006.
That's when.
But also, David Beckham was on the team, to be clear, right? And so he was really talking about Posh Spice.
No. You're right. In a roundabout way.
Yeah, right. Okay.
That was when Zidane headbutted the dude. 2006.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay,
right.
So...
What was his name?
Never forget.
Do you remember his name?
The guy on Italy?
Yeah.
Matarazzi or something.
Yeah, I think that's right. Something like that. Yeah.
Matarazzi? Like a backwards Maserati?
It's like the poor man's Maserati.
You should have someone on... I could fake it, but you should have someone on just to talk about that, because that was one of the weirdest things that's ever happened in sports.
Maybe
weird.
I should talk about weird
hits. That's like the 10-year history almost.
Yeah.
Maybe today or something.
I watched that live, and I'll never forget. Forget that.
We could talk about that. We could talk about Draymond to the Nets. We could just talk about, like, weird hits.
Yes.
Draymond to the Nets.
By the way, quick... clarification, but this I was looking at this article because you said Lisa Leslie had the first dunk. Supposedly, according to the Journal and like a podcast 538 made earlier this year, it was someone named Georgianne Wells for
they
West Virginia.
First official dunk in a college
game.
Okay, fine.
Lisa had the first in the WNBA.
She was in the WNBA.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. We're good.
Okay, so our final question for you is not trivia, unless Ellie has a great trivia question she wants to ask.
I found this really interesting. What color were tennis balls before they were yellow?
Oh, yeah. White?
Yes. And why did they make them yellow?
Because the sport was too white? No. Because they played in white, so like it was hard to see the ball coming off them?
I'll accept that. They made the balls yellow so that they were more visible on television.
Huh.
Because it was pre-TV that they were white.
It was, 1986 they made the change.
Yeah. At Wimbledon, right? That was the first
time. I guess at Wimbledon.
Okay.
That's a good one.
So our final question is, and I actually love this question, so Ellie, if you want to answer, you should answer too. Both of you. Any match, any time, any two people, when, where, and what players?
So not an actual match that's already happened?
No.
And it
so
could,
they can
and
be
it could
cross
be
a, time. Like you could have Steffi Graf play Andre Agassi, which could be awesome in their primes.
Could be non-tennis players, right?
That red, yeah.
Drake versus Serena. Yeah. I would do it.
Drake versus Serena.
Yeah.
I'm taking Serena in that one. Do you want to go first or you want me to?
You go first.
So, until or unless Djokovic catches Federer, I think the question no one will ever be able to answer is whether he or Rod Laver was better.
Yeah.
Because Laver skipped like 6 years of open tennis to play professionally back when pros couldn't play in Wimbledon and the US Open and everything. Yeah. So I would want to see them each in their prime.
Okay.
Probably at Wimbledon because they're both great there.
Yeah.
But I'd be happy pretty much anywhere.
Okay.
That's cool.
And Ellie's going to be like, I'd like to see Michael Vick play Andy Murray.
I know, I gave such a literal tennis answer.
Actually, I would totally love to see Michael Vick play Andy Murray at Wimbledon.
Michael Vick?
Yeah, it'd be super weird.
The most weird.
I think you should pick two weird people, because Murray would just beat him.
Like, I think I'm just going to like tie this all up and say I'd love to see Shaq play Mark Cuban. In Sea Island, Georgia.
Full circle. All
right. While Mark Cuban's fake yacht is docked.
I'll text Shaq.
Have to hit the ball with water guns.
Yes. With water guns.
I'll text Shaq about it later.
Perfect.
Thank you so much, Carl,
for
putting up with our ridiculous behavior. And thank you all for listening.
Bye.
Bye.